and the Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Hey, welcome everybody.
Hi there.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
We're the
Kanes.
See?
We finish each other's
sentences.
So when we do...
Hey, don't get concerned. It's our style. We always like to let you know that up front.
Otherwise, we'll have upset people out there thinking that we're cutting each other off.
We're just so rude.
We are.
Well...
But rude can be fun.
It can be. But we digress.
Right. But that's not what the show is supposed to be about.
Now, the show is about...
Transformation. It's about transformation. And the title of this particular show is Transformation in the Workplace.
So we're very excited because we're about to do a course in New York on the 15th and 16th of September, Transformation in the Workplace. And we know that people who are attending the course are listening to this show today and will be downloading it so that they can get a heads up and a start before the course starts. So I am going to read a little piece.
Carol reads very well.
Oh, well, thank you.
She reads to me every night.
I do. I love to read.
And I don't read.
He's dyslexic. It's not so fun for him. It's so much fun
for
me.
Well, it's fun to listen.
That's true. So I'm going to read a little piece of the course description for our Transformation in the Workplace course because we realize
it applies to this program.
So this program, as opposed to seminar, will present... a different possibility to bring about positive change in the workplace through awareness without doing. This transformational approach is a radical departure from working on problems to bring about change. It's about looking at yourself, your colleagues, and your business in a non-judgmental way that allows for the seeing to transform what is seen. So suppose we need to talk about what we mean when we're talking transformation, because a lot of people think transformation and change
are the same.
And
they are not.
It's not how we're using it. Transformation and change are very, very different. Change is incremental. It's linear. It takes place over time. It requires effort. Transformation happens in an instant. It is instantaneous.
And transformation happens in all areas of your life simultaneously. It's not like... See, change is about a specific thing that you want to... That's right. You want to change it. And so it's linear. It's specific. It's goal-oriented. It's trying to get your universe to turn out the way you think it ought to be. But you know something? The universe doesn't care very much about what you think things ought to be, and it always turns out exactly as it does.
I'm going to start with a very broad generalization. I'm going to assume that people in the workplace have challenges. And so,
well, that's a pretty good generalization.
I thought so.
People have challenges in most areas of
their
life.
So our tendency when we meet a challenge at work is to think of that challenge as problems, a problem. And what we're going to look at today is a more holistic approach where you get a chance to look at yourself non-judgmentally.
That's an interesting idea.
I know it's a challenge.
Well, but the whole idea of looking at anything non-judgmentally, because we've been so conditioned and so programmed in growing up in a culture to be critical, you know, to look at what's good and what's bad and what's right and what's wrong, to judge what we're seeing or hearing to see if we agree with it or disagree with it or already know this stuff.
You know, Monday nights in New York City, we do a Monday Night Alive when we're in town. It's a seminar. And this past Monday, we had a lot of people, but there were in particular three young men, Jeremy and Yale
and Andrew.
So if you're listening, guys, welcome aboard. And it was very exciting to see people who are about to head off to college start looking at the possibility that they don't need to be hard on themselves in order to learn or to improve or to get ahead in life. Wouldn't it be really neat if you could stop picking on yourself in order to improve?
See, our approach is anthropological. It is not psychological. So we are not trying to change anybody or fix anybody. But an anthropologist studies cultures, how cultures work. And what most of us don't realize is we are the product of the culture we were raised in, whether it be our familial culture or the culture at school, or the culture in the church you were attending. Those cultural influences fill our computer hard drive, and probably the RAM memory as well, with what we already know.
You know what else? It fills your behaviors as well.
Yes, but what I'm saying is you're conditioned by the culture to fit into that society, that culture, and therefore you learn what that culture knows. Interesting, there was a movie called What the Bleep, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with that, and there's this one section of that movie where they're talking about when the ships came from Europe, the Indians on the shore couldn't see them because they didn't have the concept, the context ship. They didn't have any way to hold it, so what they saw were ripples on the water. Until you know something exists, it doesn't exist. And we've all been trained how to be by the people we grew up around, and not many of them took courses in awareness.
Now, you get together in a workplace and you have colliding cultures. So we're going to start with the idea that life is holographic, and what we mean by that is if we take a slice of you at work, it's going to be a slice of you and your culture.
And that means that it's going to be a slice of you anywhere. How you are, how you do anything is how you do everything. That's another way of looking at that. So if you wash the dishes and you think you should be somewhere else while you're doing that, well, when you're at work, you'll probably think you should be at home or on vacation or somewhere else.
So are you all familiar with the holograph? I'm going to assume that you, at least some of the listeners, are not. If we were to take a normal slide, if I were to be standing here and I snapshotted a picture of Shia and I were to project it on the wall where you're sitting, first
very
of all,
handsome, very handsome.
That's
color.
What I was going to say. You beat me to it. Very handsome, very handsome. But I digress yet again. Ooh, is that fun? You know, it is all okay to have fun at work.
You know, it's okay to be where you are and interact with what's going on in your life in each moment rather than try to get somewhere all the time.
Okay, so back to work. I've got the slide of Shia on the wall. We've established it's handsome. And if I were to take the slide out...
It's handsome to you.
Thank you. We take the... That's somebody, a friend of ours, cat's name. Yeah, I don't know.
No.
So we take the slide out. We cut it in half. We put it back in the projector, and you...
What do we have? We have a half of Shia and a half of white light.
Now, if we were to take a holographic image and cut it in half, it would just be less intense. You would still get the three-dimensional image. It would just be a less intense projection.
And you'd have the whole image. So if you cut me up the middle, you would not only have my right side, you'd have the right and left side. It would just be half as bright.
So when you're looking at how you relate at work, it's a perfect model of you.
Of how you relate.
We have a very funny example of cultures. Our friend John was in from Hamburg, and he recently went home and visited his brother in West Virginia. And last time he was there, his brother had just got a puppy. It was a...
Chocolate Labrador.
Right. And the Chocolate Labrador was raised around a full-grown Persian cat. And what was very funny when he came back, here's this 3-year-old dog with behaviors that are cat-like. Because when he was there last, the cat would climb up on the back of the couch, would drape around your neck, would climb up, sit on your lap, would lick its hair, but also lick your hair. It would groom you. And when he came back, the dog, who's now large, doesn't know it's a dog. It climbs up on the back of the couch. It tries to nestle its huge body on your lap, and it wants to lick your hair because it learned behaviors from the culture it was
raised in.
Now, you're going to have people come together in a workplace with a culture that is normal to him or her, but is not necessarily normal at large. So one of the things that you want to take a look at non-judgmentally now is that your culture is unique to you, and it is not the right way or the wrong way. It's simply yours. Does that make sense? I think it makes sense.
I think it makes sense.
Now, if you want workplace to be something that is happening in a way that works the best, we should probably talk about listening.
Right.
Listening is an activity. It's not passive.
Listening is something that is not about comparison. Most of us listen through a comparative model. We listen to see, in comparison, whether we agree with what's being said or whether we disagree with what's being said or if we already know what's being said. We listen to see if what's being said fulfills some kind of agenda that we have. So if we're looking to work on a specific aspect of our life, and in this program, Ariel and I aren't talking about that specific aspect of your life, you may very well think, well, I don't need to listen to this part. It doesn't apply to me.
Or if you're listening to pick up tips so that you can make that annoying colleague of yours less annoying, then you will tend to tune out on the areas where we're talking about you as opposed to your colleague or a situation that you don't think exactly fits. But what we've discovered is if you engage fully in whatever you're doing, whether it is listening to another person, in this case us, or fully engaged in the project you're working on, if you're there, then what happens is your life transforms. And the item that you have thought of as problematic dissolves all on its own without you having to intercede with it.
Isn't it wild? We're talking about something as simple as listening as a methodology to transform your life, to become enlightened. Something as simple as being where you are, training yourself to be present in this moment of now. You see, transformation takes place when you get into this moment of now. It doesn't take place someday when you attain a certain state of consciousness.
Or when you get that raise or have the right optimal dream job, because dream jobs will turn into a nightmare if you bring yourself to it and you're in the habit of complaining. However, if you're being here, hey, that would be an interesting title for a show.
What, being here?
Yeah, if you're being here,
it would be.
Your life will transform and your work will with it. So come on back after the break. We're going to talk to some guests and we're going to discuss more about transformation in the workplace. Don't miss being here.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Improve your spiritual well-being and experience a new way of looking at spirituality and wellness. Tune into Spiritual Evolution with spiritual counselor, healer, and animal communicator, Kelly Marie. Each week, Kelly and her guests explore spiritual problem solving and connecting balance between the body and spirit. Spiritual Evolution with Kelly Marie, broadcast every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spiritual Evolution, expanding the boundaries and broadening the vision of spirituality through inspiration and education.
The last great frontier is the magnificent mystery of the mind. Abundant evidence demonstrates that we have far more talents than we realize, and that our minds are exceptional instruments we can learn to use more fully, just as we've learned to play a piano or a clarinet. Tune in to The Music of Your Mind, Living the Extraordinary, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the 7th Wave Network, and learn more about how you can hear the wonderful music of your mind.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia. Again, the name of the game is Being Here. That's all it takes to have your life transform. And we were talking about listening. You know, what's interesting about listening is it's baseball season. You know, I was watching a little bit of the Yankees game last night. They didn't do too well. They lost 12-0.
So all of you who happen to be Red Sox fans will probably be very happy about that.
Applauding, and all the Yankee fans can be moaning. Anyway, I noticed something. That when an outfielder catches a ball, if there were another ball in that glove, he wouldn't be able to catch it. You know, if it was already preoccupied with a glove, with a ball, then if it's filled, then a ball coming in would not be able to be caught. It's the same with communication and listening. When you listen, if you can be an empty glove, a communication can get across to you. If you're already filled with remembering what you want to say when the speaker stops, questioning what they're saying to see if you agree or disagree, saying to yourself, oh, in other words, they're saying, any of that will keep you from actually hearing what another person says. Now, here's the thing. If you could actually hear what another person says, it will pull you into the moment.
Listening is such a broad topic. I don't know that people have really taken a look at what gets between them and truly listening. I mean, it's a challenge, first of all, if you've labeled yourself as something. And what I mean is, if you've labeled yourself as a good listener, you won't necessarily listen. If you label yourself as a bad listener, then that idea will get between you and listening. There's lots of different impediments to listening.
Yeah, you have to be there to listen. And if you've got an agenda where you want to say something, then you won't hear what the person who's speaking is saying, so you'll cut them off or something like that, you know? You won't be there to hear it. Now, if you actually hear what another person's saying, it will pull you into the moment. And the moment is this magical place where your life transforms without your doing anything.
Let's talk about somebody cutting you off for a minute. Because it's going to happen at work. And then you have a choice, either to surrender or succumb. And surrender is as if it's your idea, that this is how it's meant to be in that moment. And if what you have to say is truly important, it'll come back. And I think that's one of the keys that happens very often with Shia and I. We definitely finish each other's sentences, but from time to time, we take whatever is being said in a different direction than the other one was headed. And if we succumb to that, it would be miserable. But surrendering has it be perfect.
Well, succumb is when you go along with it, but then you complain to yourself about it. Complain to yourself that you have to, that they cut you off. You make them wrong, and then go about doing something to try to punish them.
You know, that doesn't...
I know they offended you.
I'm sorry I cut you off. But that doesn't only happen, the surrender and succumb thing, only happen with listening. It certainly happens with emails. Have you ever gotten to your email box and you suddenly have a couple hundred, and you can either succumb to answering them or you can surrender to it as if...
And when we say surrender, we mean you do it as though it was your idea in the first place, not as though it's something that is imposed upon you from outside.
Here's an example. One of our clients and good friends, Corrine McCormick, who has her own company making eyewear and eyewear accessories, you know, readers and such, is up volunteering up in the Catskills for a project to make glasses for underprivileged kids this week. And when she got there, camping, first of all, camping was in something very different for her. Her idea of camping was the
calling room service.
The Holiday Inn. And when she got there, the bathroom facilities were extremely dirty. And she had a choice. She could either succumb to that or she could surrender to that. And what she did was she decided to clean, to be of service to everybody there. And she went about it with so much excellence. And here she is, the president, CEO of her company, cleaning the bathrooms and vacuuming the bunkhouses so that the counselors up there would have a better place and a better environment to live. Now, that is truly surrendering to the situation rather than complaining about it. Complaints are like the flu. You ever had noticed that? If somebody starts complaining at work, it's like a complaint flu. So you can either have the choice to complain to somebody who can do something about it.
Well, that's not really complaining. Complaining is when you tell people what's wrong and they can't do anything about it, and they're stuck with your complaint then, and then they start complaining about what they can't do anything about. If you have a complaint and it's viable, you could always go to somebody who can do something about it, and that transforms it from a complaint into something constructive that can forward the action at work.
It's a creative act then.
Yes.
You know, disagreeing with what is stops your productivity cold. Speaking of which, we have a client, friend, and an incredible person on the line. She was going to be on earlier, and we had difficulty with the phone. So she has called in. Her name is Haley Monzel. She's a director and the director's assistant of corporate design at Braun Germany headquarters. And I believe that she's with us. Are you here, Haley?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi,
I'm very excited to hear you, and I enjoyed what you said earlier about listening and engaging really in listening and what you're doing. And I saw that I cannot listen, or what keeps me from listening is the judgments that I have towards my colleagues. Like, I judge how they speak, their accent, or how they do their job, in my opinion, and I don't think that it leads to a great working relationship, so
no,
I'm interested
I don't think
in
it
hearing
does
more
either.
About that.
I don't think it does either, Hilly. I have a question for you. I had a question for you. It came and went. I lost it.
Okay, then I have something for you, Hilly.
Yes.
Let's say you're typical.
Yes.
Let's say that you have judgments on your colleague towards your colleagues, and there are other listeners who have judgments toward your, toward not your colleagues, but toward colleagues. Now, that's a fact. And if you don't judge that fact, but allow it to be, then in a way, you don't have to speak through or listen through those judgments.
Well, here's the thing, Holly. There are three, Hilly, there are three principles to transformation. The first principle says anything you resist persists, grows stronger, and dominates your life. So let's take a look at your judging your colleagues. Do you resist doing that? Do you think it's bad to do that?
Right.
That's a yes. Okay. So that would keep it in place, right? Given the
yes.
First principle. The second principle says you can only be exactly as you are in any given moment. So now, let's look at your relationship with your colleagues. The second principle, when you're judging your colleagues, can you not be judging your colleagues?
No.
No. Good. But resisting judging them when you're judging them keeps it stuck, yes?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Now, the third principle says anything you notice and allow it to be exactly as it is without trying to change it or fix it, completes itself. So if you are judging your colleagues, in that moment, that's all you can be doing. That's the first and second principle. And if you just notice it without judging it, it'll complete itself. What keeps your judging your colleagues going is your resistance to doing it. You're thinking that you're a bad person for doing it or wishing you were over with it already.
Right. The other thing is you judge your colleagues to the degree that you judge yourself.
That's true, too.
So if you have pet peeves, they're not just with other people. They're things that you have no tolerance for with yourself. So really the place to begin, Hilly, is with yourself.
Yes.
And to be kind with yourself.
You know, sounds great.
It's fun when you said you judge people's accent, because your accent is not American, and a lot of the people listening are American, and they're like, well, who's she to judge accents?
Yes.
But, you know, there's a lot more accents in Germany than there are in the United States.
Well, yes, that's true, too.
Well, in a way it's true. I was kidding. But in a way it is true, because you have many different cultural... It's really become quite a mixing pot now. There was a time when the German culture was very pure in that only Germans lived in Germany. But now, like the rest of the world, our realities are shifting, our cultures are shifting. We're getting people from all over the world moving into different areas so that the cultures are intermingling finally.
It's a little bit like the workplace. The workplace no longer has just people from one area. It has a mix of cultures. And the more you can get interested in how cultures work and interact as opposed to judging the differences, the easier it's going to be for you to work well and be productive and effective and satisfied.
That's so great, because we have an international team. We have Australians, we have Canadians, we have people from different parts of Germany, from Chile. Sometimes we have interns, China, everything. Yeah.
Well, that's perfect. You're now armed with things to go back and take a look and at your team and work more effectively.
Yeah.
We're going to be taking a break shortly, and we're going to be coming back and speaking with more people and talking more about transformation in the workplace.
So thank you very much, Hilly, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Discovering Our True Nature with host Brandon Cohen takes you on a journey into consciousness with guided meditations and a discussion which supports connection with your true self. Join Brandon every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover your true nature.
Never before in the history of live radio has such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Elmeen for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by walking between the worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back
to Being Here.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia. We're talking about transformation in the workplace and how our communications and how we interact has a great effect on how we experience satisfaction in our workplace.
By the way, transformation in the workplace is not the only place for transformation. So if you want to know more about the subject broadly, you can visit our website, transformationmadeeasy.com. It's very easy to remember, and you can spell easy either way you want. You can either spell out the word or the easy, transformationmadeeasy.com. We have podcasts every week. You're welcome to check them out, or you also can get to the archives of this show if you want through our website. So feel free to come and visit us there. So transformation in the workplace.
Well, let's talk about communication for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because I imagine just about everybody listening is familiar with computers, since this is a computer network.
Very good.
Right? So you're listening through the web, therefore you are familiar with computers. And you know how sometimes you get an email and it has an attachment that may not be what you like? Like the I love you virus that was going around, and maybe still is. People get an email that says I love you. They open it up, and inside is an attachment that cripples their machine. Well, lots of times people communicate, and they add attachments. So they say things, and they have hidden meanings that are dropped in. And when that happens, it really doesn't support
workplace harmony
and well-being
and productivity.
Right.
And if you look at yourself, from time to time when you communicate with somebody and you're watching their face, they may have a reaction that you don't expect, and you think, what? My communication was very simple. Will you please put paper in the copier, or I need such and such. But think of it like an exit light. You know, exit lights in the United States are usually covered with red. So when you see exit, it's red, and in Europe it's often green or green and white. Well, the light is actually a white light. It's clear, but there's a filter over it that the communication, the light, comes through so that we perceive it as red or green. So if people are having a reaction to you, you may want to take a look and see that you're, when the communications are coming through a filter that was put in place by an earlier version of you and may have an attitude that you don't expect.
And that you don't need. But we have an attitude on the line with us.
Madhu, who's the assistant vice president in business analyst and fixed income department for Credit Suisse. You there, Madhu?
Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to have you join us.
There was a slight hesitation in sound, and I said, I hope he's there. How you doing?
Good, great. How are you guys?
Excellent.
We're excellent.
So I've been listening here, and it was a really good analogy with the computers because that's what I work with. And
a lot of people these days work with computers.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So my question is, I guess, in the workplace, there's a lot of, you know, some conflicts arise. Like, for example, I'm on a project, and I have colleagues on that project, and, you know, I have an agenda to get the project done, or I have a vision for the project, and these conflicts arise when someone else's agenda for that project differs from mine. And I know you speak about, you know, the living in the right house versus living in the alive house, and I've always regarded it with taking it with regard to people, but I don't know if it has anything to do with projects as well, because I feel like the project should go a certain way, whereas someone else thinks it should go a different way. So I'm not sure how to deal with those things. I might go away really angry and frustrated with that other person. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, first of all, Madhu's alluding to an analogy that we
speak of in one of our books.
Living in the right house versus the alive house. It's an analogy, as if you...
It's a metaphor for what's possible in life. You see, you can either have aliveness, that's well-being and happiness and love and health and partnership and relationship, or you can be right. And they're like water and oil. They don't mix. So if you're being right, it costs something. You're paying rent. And the rent you pay to be right is you lose your experience of aliveness, you know, the joy of relationship and the experience of happiness and health and well-being.
And in this case, teamwork. So the first thing I would make as an expectation, if I were you, is that the other person is committed to getting the project done with excellence as well.
Okay.
But you see, what you don't take into account are people's conditioning and programming. Who heads this committee up?
First name.
First name? Emmanuel.
Okay.
Okay. Now, many of the people in this project may view Manuel like their father.
Okay.
And they'll have the same kind of disagreements with him than they've traditionally had with their father.
And, Madhu, if they're a person who has issues with their siblings, then the two of you will scuffle over getting the attention of Manuel.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is, if you have somebody who's got a different agenda as to how to approach a project, if you want to have it work with this person, when you listen to their ideas, you must drop your ideas of how it should be done and really hear it as if...
Fresh. New, like it's newly happening, a new idea.
Like Shia's example earlier of the outfielder with a ball in his glove, in this case, because we were talking Yankees, his or her glove, it's it's as if when you are speaking to somebody, your agenda is nestled in your glove, and you are not interested in catching what they have to say.
Well, you're not available to catch it either, because something's in the way, your agenda.
The interesting thing is, if you don't hear that person's perspective, they're left with it. They will not be able to hear any ideas that you have. If you actually hear what another person has to say with the intention to have them be brilliant, then you may be able to come back in with other ideas so that you two are working as a team as opposed to combatants.
It dovetails rather than clashes.
Okay. So I guess I do that. I have my idea at the forefront, and I want to push it through.
That's
I have
right.
That agenda.
That's right. And, you know, if you're going to do that, you're going to have problems because everybody wants their idea.
Yeah, that's true.
And if nobody's listening to the other people speaking, it never works. The condition of the planet is a fine example of that.
The other thing, Madhu, in any workplace, people's insecurities can bubble to the surface, and they do not want to be seen as stupid. And so it may be more challenging for you to listen to certain individuals because you may have presupposed that they are brighter than you or less bright than you, or we hierarchicalize, is that a word?
Yeah.
We put in hierarchies people.
It's a word you're allowed to use.
Thank you.
Because I said so.
Okay, good. So I've noticed about you from seeing you in our seminars that you listen differently depending on what category you've put that individual in, whether you look up to them or
down,
not.
Down on them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're much more likely to challenge or be challenging toward people you look up to. Either.
Wait, say that again. I look. I challenge. It depends who I'm talking to. So
if you look up to somebody, you're going to have a challenge communicating with them. If you look down on them, you're going to have a challenge communicating to them. It's similar to what we were discussing with Hilly in the previous section. If you can become aware of your judgments and how you stratify people, it neutralizes it.
It neutralizes the judgments. You see, your judgments, if you don't see them run your life, another word for that would be prejudices. If you don't see your prejudices, or if you see them and judge them, they still run your life. If you just notice that you have certain prejudices that were put in there early on and they still run, and you don't try to get rid of them but just notice them, that's enough for them to lose their power over your ability to interact with people without interacting through those prejudices. It's as though they've lost their... It's like Velcro and fluff. You know, Velcro is hooks and it sticks to fluff. If you get rid of the hooks, it doesn't stick to the fluff. If you get rid of the fluff, it doesn't stick to the hooks. The awareness of your prejudicial way of being that you learned growing up in a culture, and all cultures are prejudiced, that in itself allows you to not be affected by those prejudicial ideas. So you can function having them without them having you.
Okay.
It allows for you to be free of those judgments.
I'm going to say the same thing we said to Hilly. Huh? You got to start with being kind to yourself.
Absolutely.
Let's come back and we'll talk more about this after the break. Don't miss
being here. You're going to be back with us, Madhu?
Yeah.
Good. Excellent. We'll see you after the break.
We'll see you after the break.
Okay.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Step up to a new level of awareness. Step up to a higher level of compassion. Step up to the true, authentic person that lies within. Step up to an eternal connection with spirit on Step Up with minister, writer, teacher, healer, lecturer, counselor, channeler, medium, and host, Janice Lynch. Explore new perspectives. Engage in self-exploration. Experience greater joy, passion, and freedom. Step Up demystifies the mystical world of spirituality, reawakens the intuition, and offers essentials for spirituality. Step Up with Janice Lynch, broadcast each Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network. Step Up, where limitless possibilities are possible.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Be extraordinary. 7th Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Hola!
We're back.
Getting ready to go do our courses in Costa Rica. Hola. So, Madhu.
We have to go to Germany and England before we do that.
I know, but we're still pre-planning here.
Okay.
You with us, Madhu?
Yep, I'm here.
Excellent.
So, you have another question, actually.
Yes, please.
A few months ago, I initiated a project here to creating a newsletter, and in that for that newsletter, I had to collect profiles from each of our team members, and that actually went pretty smoothly. And now I'm tasked with creating a follow-up newsletter, and I have to collect profiles of team members from another team, actually. And I'm getting a lot of resistance, and people aren't submitting them, so I'm not sure what to do or you know, what to say to them.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have an attitude about this other team?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Well, it may be that people on that team don't know how to do it, are afraid to do it, and are afraid of doing it wrong. So you might want to encourage them to simply do something that's raw, and you'll help them edit it if that helps them. Sean and I were talking on the break about things, internal conversations that keep you from starting a challenging project. And lots of times when people don't know how to do something or they're afraid to do it wrong, they'll come up with all sorts of excuses.
Things that will knock them off balance so they don't have to go ahead with it.
Suddenly they'll remember a deadline, they'll
have to take the garbage out.
A dentist appointment, anything to keep from having to face that challenging project. They can even get the phone to ring in and it can be somebody wanting to chat and whoops, the time went away. So whilst you can't write it for them, there may be a way that you can make it safe for them to make, quote, mistakes.
Okay.
Also, one of the things recently, we noticed, we read something by somebody who was encouraging people to write something similar to a profile. They gave a couple examples of how it could be done, and then they broke down what worked in the example. So here's a profile of Madhu, and in this profile, it's obvious particular to him, but notice he talked about this and that and this, and that may be a good place for you to start if you're finding it challenging.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Good. The other thing is, if you underestimate your skill sets, you may not recognize that writing is challenging for some other people. We were joking about it at the beginning of the show that I love to read. And for Shia, it's simply not a fun exercise because he's so dyslexic. So if it's something that comes easily to you, you may underestimate the challenge it is for other people.
Yeah, I see that. Actually, it's interesting because
the last time
we collected the articles, the profiles, people would actually give me revision. They would delay giving them to me, but once they got it to me, they'd look at it, they'd revise it, and they got into
it. But something, Madhu, that you have to take into account, and that is that people don't like to be told what to do, and I'm quite sure they're not volunteering for this
newsletter profile.
Right, newsletter
project.
Profile project.
That is true.
So it's a request put upon them, and they, in their heads, complain that they've got all their own work to do, and now this is being requested.
It's one more thing in their busy day.
And most people don't like being told what to do. Take a look. You don't like being told what to do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So when, and sometimes even when you want to do what you tell yourself you should do, you don't want to be told what to do.
That's called procrastination. You say, okay, I'll write that profile tonight, and then somehow you just don't get to it.
Then Law and Order got in the way. Or America's Got Talent got in the way.
Or something.
Right.
Saving Grace. You know, you'll find something to get in the way if the project isn't yours.
You know, there's a lot that's rich in Madhu's question for listeners all over the place, because when you're at work, you may find that another person's request, like Madhu's, to come up with this profile by X time at X date, is an inconvenience, but don't forget, there's another person on the other end of that request, and how you operate either supports or diminishes that person's capacity to get their job done. And I think from time to time, people forget at work that you make a difference. You're making a difference, and the difference you make is either by creating or acting as an impediment to people's ability to feel productive and effective and satisfied. One other thing that occurs to me, Madhu, that may be different if you say you don't have an attitude toward this other team, but I'm not totally sure, because you were saying some people on your team delayed to get revisions, that you seem to be more tolerant of your team than that team, just in your vocal tone. Is you may have more of a relationship with your team, so they may be more interested in doing things for you. You may have to actually create a relationship with these people.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't interact with them at all.
Yeah, and so your request for these, what do you call them?
Profiles.
Your request for these profiles could very well be not in the kindest and most gentle way, and people may take it as an intrusion and something that they resist.
I have a question. Are these people actually physically in the same building you are, the same floor perhaps?
They're in the same building. Most of them are on another floor.
Well, it may not work. It may not work in the culture of your company, but another possibility is that you take a moment, take a walk, sit down at a chair near their desk and say, hey, working on these profiles, do you need some help with it? Can I help you with that? And if they say no, you can ask them, well, they can get it to you because you'd really like to do it. you know, get it happening. You could create relationship with those people, and it doesn't have to take a long period of time.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that, yeah.
Well, thanks for being with us today, my dude.
Yes, my dude. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
I'm sure your questions were really good for a lot of folks out there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, I'm really enjoying this transformation in the workplace.
Good.
Because I think it's, you know, whether a person is a homemaker.
That's their workplace.
Or whether they're working in a big office like Madhu here. Or
that's their workplace.
So much of our time is spent in the workplace that if parts of it aren't working for you.
If you're not happy and satisfied and feeling well in yourself when most of your, at your workplace, and most of your waking hours are spent there, then it's really difficult to have a satisfying life even when you leave work. Because, you know, how you are anywhere
is how you are everywhere, and how you are everywhere is how you are
anywhere. So, you know, you bring you to wherever you are. And if you are not feeling well in yourself, if you haven't discovered the space of well-being, which, by the way, is a byproduct of transformation, which, by the way, is a byproduct of being where you are rather than wishing you should be somewhere else, then being here is exactly what you need. And remember, listening is what gets you there.
So we invite you all to be kind to yourself between now and when we have the opportunity to meet next week. Non-judgmental.
Right. View your life non-judgmentally.
Thank you for
being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.